Let's pray together. Jesus, you've got something for us today, so may we not miss it. May we be paying so close attention, listening to your every word. I pray that I wouldn't get in the way of your message because you've got something for everyone today. Bless them for being here. They come seeking you, and you've promised us. If we come seeking after you, we'll find you. You tell us, for without faith it is impossible to please you, but you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So, Jesus, here we are seeking you. Bless our service. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I got a professor at Liberty. His name is Dave Early. He always asks these rhetorical questions, but yet he gets our mind going in the right direction. He says, he'll do such things as this. He said, how many people think God can do anything? And everybody goes, yeah. How many people think God answers prayer? Yeah. So he said, so why are we so gloom, or why are we so blind? And he convicts you by saying that. If we think God can do anything, why do we doubt? If we think God can do anything, well, that's for somebody else. No, it's not. It's for you. Why do we always do that? So, God can do anything. How many people have witnessed God answering a prayer in their life? Yeah. If he never did anything else but save you, that's enough, isn't it? You know. May we never be like that person, you know, walks down the street. If I had $100, if I had $100, if I had $100, and finally somebody just can't stand anymore and goes up and goes, here, there's $100. He says, I wish I'd asked for $200. I wish I'd asked for $200. It's like, you're never satisfied. And so God has done enough to keep us satisfied, that's for sure. Take a Bible, if you would. James is going to give you one. And we are going to look at a story around Christmas time. You realize this is the last Sunday of December, last Sunday of 2019. And the next time I see you, it'll be a new day, a new week, a new month, a new year, a new decade. That ain't enough to get you excited. If you knew Jesus was coming back, or if I could even use Mark Camper's mom last night, if you knew you were going to meet Jesus in about 10 minutes, how would you be? Would you be excited? I think, yeah, man, get excited. I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe he'll come back in the next few minutes, and we'll just, I won't mind that. The older I get, the more I look forward to seeing him. For the world, they got a glimpse of Jesus in the past month, and then after that, I wonder what atheists do on the 25th of December. What do they sing? I don't guess they sing, What Child Is This? I don't guess they sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. They don't have anything to tell. How sad. So we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And we've told these stories for the past few weeks. Some of them are right before me. These guys right up here in this nativity scene. Does anybody remember the story I told you about this guy? See where his lamb is on his back? What did I tell you about that sometimes? If a lamb wanders off, what does a shepherd sometimes do?
Break his leg.
Break his leg, put him around his neck until he heals. Some of us feel like, Lord, you're breaking me. Maybe you need to be broken then. I tell you what, if you hang around his shoulders long enough, you'll know the shepherd better, right? So we got some shepherds. We got some wise men. We got some camels, I know. But I'll talk to you about the shepherds and Jesus being our good shepherd. Talk to you about some wise men. I know they most likely came anywhere from 9 or 10 months, maybe 2 years. They came to the house of Joseph and Mary, I know, to see the baby. Jesus could have very well been a toddler by then, or cutting teeth. I don't know that they showed up right here, but Nativity has them, the wise men bearing gifts. And of course, we have the innkeeper. I don't have him up here. But the innkeeper did not have room for Jesus that night. I pray that we'll never like the innkeeper. And then we had Joseph and Mary. Where was he born at?
Bethlehem.
So we're going to switch places now. We're going to move from Bethlehem over to this place. We're going to go into Jerusalem. And we're going to hear from a man named Simeon. And so if you've got a Bible, I guess you can turn to a book of in the New Testament. Let me give you an idea of before we even read. How many of you have ever had to wait on something? Benjamin, how long have you waited to get your driver's license?
A million years.
Exactly, a million years. He took drivers in the Paleozoic era, and it's probably been a while. How many of you have waited what seems like a long time is really just a short time. Brandon, how long have you been on the bull on the back?
How long?
6 seconds. How long did it feel?
25 minutes.
Yep. So he sits on the bull for 6 seconds and it feels like a long time. You ever had to wait on a doctor's appointment? Yeah. We sit out there, and remember, if you show up late, I can charge you. But if I make you wait an hour, it's okay. Just remember that when you come to the doctor's office. You ever went to the Walmart and decide to get in a line, and they've got 26 hours over there, and one of them's open. But anyway, they've got people, you got to wait to go through a line. You've got to wait to see a doctor. You get to
wait in traffic.
You get to traffic lights, you know, that seems so long. Logan, how long does a traffic light last? Driver's head question. Logan, come on. 90 seconds is what most of. Minute and a half, and it feels like, what'd you say? A million years. I'll give you one last one. You ever been put on hold? Wow. Thank you for calling us. All of our representatives are currently busy, but you're only ninth in the queue. That means the line. So if you keep waiting, well, if every guy talks about at least 10 minutes and I'm ninth in the queue, that's an hour and a half I get to wait. Anybody ever laid the phone down, you just put the speaker and go ahead and, you know, build a house, milk a cow, lift weights, fry steaks, just do everything, come back. We're still waiting. We received a high volume of calls. Well, I said all of that to say this. All of us have waited. We waited at a doctor's office. We've been put on hold line at a Walmart traffic light. Well, I didn't know if you knew, so I thought I'd pass this on. This is a guy named Simeon, and he's holding the baby Jesus. And how long has he waited? He's waited longer than 6 seconds. He's waited longer than, how long has he waited? Well, between the Old Testament, and I know you're looking in the New, but right now, between the Old Testament, the last book in the Old Testament is a book called Malachi. How long from Malachi to Matthew? You say, well, it's only about a page. No, how long in time? In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. So you've got to have your heart turned to God. And from Malachi 4 over to Matthew is a mere 400 years. It's called the silent years. Let me ask you, if you've ever had a newspaper, I don't get a newspaper, but if you've ever heard the news, what if they showed up tonight at 6:30 and says, dun, 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 Channel 7 News, we have nothing to report. There comes the credits down. There's nothing to say. Open up Roanoke Times, the pages are blank. That's sort of like what we're doing. When Malachi ended, there's 400, I've actually called it 435 years, nothing. They're called 400 silent years. Why? Israel's running away. If they were a child, they're running. They're away from their father. They don't want anything to do with God. And God says, that's fine. I'll try to get you to turn back before it's too late, but I'm basically letting you be. And so for the next 400 years, nothing. And then something happens. And it's front page news. No longer has a... Tonight, I bring you good news of what? Great joy. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's front page news. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his what, shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Consider this then. Of the last 400 years, from Malachi to Matthew, nothing. Finally, we got something to write about. Jesus was born. The New Testament starts being picked up, written, and again, showing God was at work. It just seemed like God wasn't doing anything for a long time, and suddenly, God's at work, and it's newsworthy, and He's going to bring His Son into the world. That's something to write about. And so suddenly, this whole thing changes. A baby changes everything. It's newsworthy. So now we begin the New Testament. What are these testaments called? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called what? The Gospels. What's the Gospels? Who are the Gospels about? Jesus. So after 400 years, God says, I'm going to bring you some relief. I've tried to get you, Israel, to turn back to me. You won't. I'm going to send myself down there. And basically, God the Father is in heaven. God the Son comes to earth. And so here we go. And these guys are just like anybody else. So if you want to look in Luke chapter 2, you can. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is newsworthy. I don't know if it ever dawned on you before to think of it that way. Nothing's happened for a long time, and suddenly you burst through the door and say, Mama, Mama, guess what? You ever done that before?
Yeah.
Opie runs in all the time in the courthouse, and one time his daddy on the show there, Andy Taylor, says, Opie, I declare one of these days you're going to come through here and your lungs are going to burst. Well, I've got to tell you something. And of course, it's a big thing to tell. Well, we got a big thing to tell. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. We'll start reading. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Let me stop right there. What's a consolation prize? Well, you didn't get the real thing, so we're going to give you a consolation prize. Well, consolation, in this case, it's consolation. It's more than just a prize. It's consolation can sometimes be called, I've heard Alistair Begg preach it, and he says, the hope of Israel. They've been without hope for how long, James? How many years? How many are 400? You know. Can you imagine waiting 400 years on something? We've been looking for hope for a long time. Matter of fact, some of them who looked for hope died. And they're still waiting on hope. Still waiting on hope. Chris, it's sort of like waiting on a cable man. You know, it's like, you know, you'll die waiting on him. No, it's not quite that bad, but it's like, when are you going to come? Some of these people said, when are you going to show up? He's waiting too. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die. That's always good before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That is a great thing to remember right there. Don't die without seeing Jesus. Don't die without having Jesus. So like American Express, what do you say? Don't leave home without it. Well, don't leave earth without him. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light, what's Jesus called? Light of the world. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. It's probably tough for him to say. He's a Jew. He realizes it's going to go to more than just the Jews. And for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and the sword will pierce your own soul too. If you got a bulletin today, Jenny goes to so much trouble to make these. I'm going to give you some things to write down. I got 7 points, and I want to bring out some things about this man called Simeon. Jesus is going to be presented in the temple. And you say, well, I don't even understand why they have to do that. Well, I'm going to give you a little background in the Old Testament why they had to do that. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. You say, okay, I don't know, understand the purification rites. Well, if you go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 12, 1 through 4, I'm just going to read you a couple of verses here that help you understand why they had to go for the purification rites. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, if a woman conceives a child and gives birth to a son, she will be unclean for 7 days, just as she is during her menstrual period. On the 8th day, the flesh of the boy's foreskin must be circumcised. He's going to be circumcised, and I've told you that before. You know when your body can fight off infection the best? When you're 8 days old. Now, who performed the circumcision? Would that be his own mom? I don't know. Wasn't any doctors. So he was circumcised when he was 8 days old. When was he brought to the temple? Keep reading. On the 8th day, the flesh of the boy's foreskin must be circumcised. For 33 days, the mother will be in a state of blood purification. She must not touch anything holy or enter the sacred area until her time of purification is completed. So, Liz, could she even come to the temple? No, because she's unclean. So let's add up that 7 days. That she's unclean in 33 days. How old is Jesus when they come to the temple? He's 40 days old. Imagine little baby Jesus. Well, that'd be cool. Can I hold him? No. You know, it's like, can I just see? No. You know, put a blanket over and come. No, they're still obeying the law. They came back home to have the census. Now they're doing this. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. So where does it tell us that in the Old Testament? Exodus 13. The Lord said to Moses, verse 2 there, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. So according to the Old Testament, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Why did these guys bring pigeons or doves? Or some people might bring a lamb. So they got a sacrifice for the purification, but why didn't they bring something else? The thing about it is, they're probably too poor. So a pigeon or a dove, that's all they could afford. These guys don't have a lot. So what did they do? Leviticus 12:8. If she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she'll be clean. So here's Joseph and Mary showing up with a 40-day-old baby. I wonder how Joseph feels. By the way, who does the baby look like? God. You asked me who, but yeah, he looks like God. So, here they are walking into the temple. Jesus is now 40 days old. Joseph and Mary are coming to the temple for two things. They're coming for purification and for dedication. So they bring him in for purification, and they also want to dedicate him for God's use. Well, he is God. But now, does he know? Hey, he's 40 days old. How can he know anything? Well, but he's Jesus. He should know everything. He's also a little baby. You didn't come out of the womb knowing everything, did you? You didn't come out of the womb. Some people may think they did. I don't know. It's like, some people think they know everything. You know, come out of the womb walking. Hey, how's it going? You know, you just know that's not the way it is. You're a little baby. Why did he become a baby for us? So he could identify with us. No one can ever accuse you. So you don't know what it's like. Oh, but I do. Do you know what it's like to kick in the womb? Yes. Oh. Do you know what it's like to learn to talk and walk? And yes. Do you know what it's like to have a daddy that doesn't always understand you? Oh, yeah, amen. You know, some of that's good. Yeah. So here they come. He's been circumcised. Now he's going to be dedicated. So they walk into the temple. What's this going to be like? Well, they're going to look for a man named Simeon, I guess. Simeon sees a Savior. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Tell me about Simeon. Well, he was righteous and devout. What is righteous and devout? There's my seven steps for you to maybe put into your bulletin. I've got seven R's to try to match something. He was righteous and devout and a devout man of God. What does righteous mean? What does it mean that Job was a righteous man? What does it mean that Abraham was a righteous man? Melanie, what do you think? What is he? He's righteous. Does he know God? Yeah. In today's world, Brennan would say he's a Christian. What's devout mean? He's not just a Christian. He is what? He's, boy, you take this being a Christian seriously. Because some people don't. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Troy Wells and I coached basketball at Christiansburg. First year I ever taught school was 1978. Man, that's a long time ago. But anyway, I coached JV basketball, and Troy Wells coached varsity. Man, if a person could die of a broken heart, it was Troy. I watched us one time. We were up by 6 points at Nares High School. I don't like Nares. Me, you like Nares? Man, first time. Okay. Anyway, I think we were up by 6. And lost. Look at how much time's on the clock.
30 seconds.
I think it's 8. We're up by about, you know, almost 8 with 8 seconds to go and still lost. We can invent ways to lose. I mean, we just had to think we went 4-12. I mean, we'd find a way to lose. Good teams find a way to win. Bad teams just find a way to lose. But anyway, so Christiansburg had the ball on the baseline right here. All you gotta do. You could just roll the ball on the court and walk off. No. We might win if we do that. So all you got to do is just roll the ball on the court. I mean, just pitch it to the opposing player and walk up. No, we can't do that. Still remembering Scott Beach in the 10th grader. Oh, I remember that. Scott was on the baseline. He went and threw it. To who? The wall on the other end, I guess, and the wall didn't catch it. But anyway, it bounced off the wall. Never went in bounds. That gives Nares the ball underneath their own bucket. I just called time right there. Scott, take what part of your brain it is working and come over and sit down beside. What did you do that for?
I just wanted to hit a long pass.
What are you doing? Bounces off. Nares got under their own bucket. Okay, we're up by six. Ready? He slaps the ball. Play starts. They move around. He throws it in. Guy comes down the lane, takes it, lays it up. The shot goes in. But our player just can't leave well enough alone. He comes over. His name's David. He was all, I think, all district, tight end. He comes over behind him and hammers the guy and slaps the backboard. Okay, he made the shot. There's two. We're down by, I mean, we're up by what? Four? They call a flagrant foul. He slaps the backboard and goes like this. Okay, so he not only gets the two, he gets two shots. You just had to foul him, right? So he gets two shots because it was a flagrant foul. Call that. And he slaps the backboard. That's a technical. So we just keep adding them on. So in that one play, he makes a shot. They give him two free throws because he flagrantly hit the guy that shot, and they called a technical foul for slapping the backboard. How many points did he gain right there? Good gracious. By the way, it's a technical. Who gets the ball? Nares gets it back again. So now they're underneath their own bucket. Slaps the ball, throws it in. The guy comes to the court and goes, we walk off the court. We lose by one, and we're up by six. I mean, I'm just looking like, how, y'all invent ways to lose. Well, Troy, the man could have died of a broken heart, but I mean, it's just like, so we would get together and we'd pray with people. And Troy is a good, strong Christian, by the way. Give him all credit. He moved to Martinsville and won a state championship. I pray he just needed some people to play, I guess. But I thought, those guys learned something. We learned how to lose, I believe. But anyway, we learned character. I mean, you got to find something. But Troy was a devout Christian. I'll give Troy Wells that. I now know his son, Travis. Travis was about 3 years old when I got to know him coming into our games. He's got his Channel 7 Sports now. Travis will still remember me. And Travis is a devout Christian. Well, what's that mean? What does Troy, being a devout Christian, what does Travis, what does... They never backed off. Troy went to Oral Roberts University. And when we wanted to pray, we would never deny God. We would never drop back. We prayed before the games. We prayed with our players. We prayed a lot that year. We were taught a lot of character. But I guarantee you, devout means that you don't just take things lightly. And man, when we had games like that, let me show you. We also played a game, and it's nothing about me and Troy, but a referee came over. We shook hands with him. Troy says, yeah, I think he's a Christian. I said, okay, so you believe? He turned around and used about four cuss words. This is a referee. I said, Troy told me you were a Christian. He says, well, everybody's got their vices. And you must have mine, too, because you used enough for everybody. So, Logan, I'm a Christian, but it's okay to cuss. Is that what he just now said? Yeah. Is he devout? No. Some people don't take this seriously. There are some people that wouldn't take this seriously. Simeon does. I'm righteous. That means I'm saved. I'm righteous before God. I'm devout. I take this seriously. How serious? He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He believes the Old Testament. He knows that there's hope. He's read Isaiah. Jesus is coming in. So number two, he's relying and waiting for the hope of Israel. He's relying on God to keep his word. By the way, you can do that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If anyone confesses their sins, I'm faithful to forgive you of your sins. And guess what? John 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll doubtless come again that you, what? You can be with me. He's coming back one day. Now let me let you be Simeon. Simeon was looking for the Savior to come, be born. We should be looking for the Savior to come back. He's not going to be a baby this time. He's not going to be a little meek baby in a manger. He's going to be a judge. And he's going to judge those that don't know him. Wow. He changed roles. Yep. I want to be relying on God's word. He said he's coming back. He is. It was revealed to him that he would not die until he would see the Messiah. I hope that you're like that also. I hope my preaching every week is not getting in the way of God saying this. I've got a son. His name is Jesus. If you accept him as your Savior, he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll come into your heart. He will save you. He'll never leave you. Has the word been revealed to you? I hope it has. Now, it's been revealed to him. What if the word had been revealed to Simeon, but Simeon decided to stay at the house? And his wife came in and said, Simeon, do you believe the word? Absolutely. It's been revealed to you? Yep. What are you doing sitting at the house? I just don't feel like going today. Oh. Just think if he had not went to church that day. This, he stayed home, and here comes Mary and Joseph with Jesus, and there's no Simeon. What? Simeon, did I miss anything yesterday? Yeah, Jesus came. Of all Sundays to miss. He responded by being moved by the Spirit. You can tell he's righteous. You can tell he's devout because when the Holy Spirit, we call that tugging what? Tugging at your heart. You say, I just got to say this. I cannot. They tug. Holy Spirit tugs his heart. So guess what? He can't sit still. He responds by being moved by the Spirit. He went to the temple courts. He was obedient to God. And he's sitting there. Every day, some doubter said, Simeon, I'm just sort of guessing, Simeon, what are you here for? I'm looking for the hope of Israel. The Messiah might come in here. You've been looking for that for, you just fill it in. We've been waiting 400 years. Why is he going to show up today? Jack Van Impe, who's, I remember hearing his name a lot when I was growing up. I don't know a ton about Jack. I do know he's the Walking Bible is what they call him. He said he's memorized the New Testament. Pretty good. And he would send you a pen if you'd ever send him something. And his two words, he's a prophecy preacher. The two words he'd send it with the little pen. Now, Jerry Falwell sent some that said Jesus first. Jack Van Impe would say, perhaps today. I wonder if Simeon's got his perhaps today pen on.
There's that Simeon in here looking for Jesus.
Perhaps today. And he's praying, and in walks a couple. Oh, heart attack. It's him. He's allowed me to finally see the hope of Israel. This is sort of like seeing a lunar eclipse. What was that eclipse? I remember a few years ago, the sun, I was outside, and all of a sudden it got dark in the middle of the day. I went, this is neat. Wow, doesn't happen too often. Well, here it is. They come in, he recognized Jesus immediately. They didn't introduce yourself. Hi, Mary, Joseph, our new baby Jesus. I know who he is. How do you know? You recognize Jesus. I can't let that go by because without saying this, I recognize Jesus. How do you recognize him? Well, I recognize what he does. He's a 17.35 God. So what in the world is that? We prayed for Emily to get a good time. And, I prayed for him to take good care of Hokie. Now he saw Hokie home. I've seen God work at Heston. I recognize him. I see it. He's saying, this is a God thing. And he was told in the first grade, I don't know if he's going to be able to learn. And he's working on his fifth master's. I believe he's going to be all right. What if we'd have believed that teacher? Harry, you think you got critics in the world? Absolutely. Why do you even believe in God? I don't think you know what you're doing. Told Annie, I don't even know if he's going to be able to learn. He's going to struggle. I still remember we met with a kindergarten, first grade teacher one time. And I said, okay, let's hear all the problems Annie has. Well, I'll tell you what, he comes in here sometimes, and he doesn't even hang his coat if he is frozen in the floor. Land of Goshen, let's stop time. Benjamin, who do you think he learned that from? Yeah. I said, well, that's what I do when I go in the house. Jenny fuzzes at me. I turned out all right. And that's what I felt like doing. Gosh, quit labeling everybody. Don't hang your coat up. You're stupid. Wow. Y'all are harsh. So if you got any clothes laying on the floor at home, make sure you take care of that. Or how about this? I want to see God in things. I saw God in him. Judy says, I'm just going to let y'all be. We'd go in there and study. I see God in taking Hopi home. I see God in helping him to run track. I see God bringing you in here today. This is a dream. It was a vision. It did not have feet and hands and legs and didn't have anything. And in 2008, God said, start a church. And I said, God, I'm 50 years old. I know. I was there when I made you. I didn't complain or I didn't reject the idea too much. He said, I need you to plant a church like a camp. Okay. And we started having a Bible study. We started putting things together. We started at Huff Lane, and I saw God doing things. And the first time we had a Bible study, I was nervous. I was out there. Here come a couple people in. Okay, here come a family with kids and everything. Yes. They walk in and said, is this where the Cub Scouts meet?
Yeah, right over there.
Here's a Bible study. Now, we're not looking for that. We want the Cub Scouts. Great. We had a movie night and had about 9 people there, and I said, Lord, send us some people. Door opened up. There was a couple families, 9 people. We just doubled our crowd. They sit down and looked a little bit strange, so I had to go over and ask them, y'all okay? They spoke Spanish back to me. I thought, okay, Lord, I wanted 9 people to understand English. You didn't say that. I stopped it, and he put subtitles up there, and he put it up there where they could figure it out. I saw God in that. God says, let me help you. I want to do so many things that you recognize it's me anymore. And you don't think it's coincidence or it's just what? Good luck. Luck? Wow. The world does that too. You sure are lucky. Okay. No, that's a God thing. His eyes seen the salvation of the Lord. That's very important. Mark Camper's mom last night saw the salvation of the Lord. He also said this is a revelation that a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He didn't hog that salvation just to the Jews. The Gentiles would be sort of like the enemy in a way, if you'd want to call them that. He's so righteous and devout, he wants to share with others and realizes, yes, Gentiles need to be saved too. Then Simeon did this. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Falling and rising. I believe those who didn't have a whole lot, they're going to be rising. And he lifts us up that the falling, some of the staunch people who thought they knew religion but didn't know God, they didn't like God, and yet they do it in a way, fall away from him. And to be a sign that would be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. I like this one. Don't miss it. Many hearts will be revealed. God will know what's in your heart one day. He knows what's in your heart right now. But it will be revealed to us one day. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. He blessed them, and Mary was going, what was going to happen in the future. The rising and falling of many in Israel. Mark Lowry had a song. He said, Mary, did you know? And one of those lines in there, he said, the child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary had to accept her own son as Savior. That's crazy. No, it's not. Biblical. James, his brother, who wrote the book of James. Jude, who wrote Jude, a half-brother of Jesus. Both those guys didn't even believe in him on the cross until after he died. That's pretty sad. So what happens with this Simeon? Well, let me compare it. Simeon was a righteous and devout man. Simeon was looking for Jesus to come. Simeon knew who to look for. Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit and responded to his leading. He didn't stay at home. Simeon knew Jesus when he saw him. He recognized him. Simeon could be satisfied if he died because he had seen Jesus. It's okay. I can go now. If I didn't know Jesus, no wonder you're scared to death to die. What awaits you? I mean, let's be, if you don't know Jesus, what awaits you in eternity? Hell. People don't like to talk about hell. You know, that's bad. It's biblical. You need to tell people that. The rich man who died and looked up in torment in hell. Wow. People don't like you to tell them that. Well, I'd rather tell you now than then. We got a choice for eternity, heaven or hell. Simeon could be sad. He said, I'm okay. Simeon blessed Joseph and Mary and encouraged him with his words. So now, Simeon sees the Savior. So us, How about us? Do you know Jesus as Savior and do you try to live for Him? Are you a righteous person and a devout Christian? Can we turn up the notch a little bit on that devoutness? Well, I'm saved, but I don't hardly read or pray or witness or tithe or I don't hardly do any of those things. Those are extra. That's sort of like if I said I do to Jenny, but that takes care of it. I don't really have to take care of her or Andy as he grew up. I don't have to take care of the cats or empty the litter boxes. Hey, I've done my part when I said I do. I got news for you. Jenny wouldn't remind me. I probably got a few things to do. How about a mom? Well, I had them. It's up to you to watch them. Wow. Thank you, Mom. They would call that abandonment. And some father, hey, don't bother me. I helped you bring them in the world. You know what the mom would probably say? And I'm going to take you out of this world. You know, get in there like a kid. I think it's a shared, do you know Jesus? Let the world know. Got a brand new year in front of you. Are looking for Christ's return? Perhaps today. Does the Holy Spirit reveal things to you as you read the Bible and say, you know what, man, that spoke to me. Are you moved by the Spirit to come to church and worship? I just cannot lay there in the bed. I've got to do it. I can't. I got to do it. I got to. Do you recognize Jesus in things that happen? That's a God thing right there. That's a God thing. Have your eyes seen and experienced salvation for yourself and others? Are you a blessing to others? Do you know what's going to happen in the future? You should tell people, Jesus is coming back to get you ready. Can I just throw a little something right here? Have you experienced salvation? That's a must. Well, I'm doing the best I can. It scares me to death when people say that. I'm doing the best I can. Someone said, are you married, Edgar? I'm doing the best I can. How about just yes? Are you alive? I'm doing the best I can. Scares me to death. Are you saved? Yes, absolutely. Unequivocally. I know. I got it. So what are those things? Which one of them grabs your heart? I won't tell you the whole story. I just condensed it down, but Tim would know him. There's a guy named Hayes Shelton. Tim, you remember Hayes Shelton at Virginia Tech? I got in the car, and I don't know if I've shared this before, bears repeating. We got in a 52 Dodge. It was black and a pink stripe down the side of it. Classic. White at the bottom, white at the top, one of those two-tone kind of things. Three-tone, I guess. But anyway, we're going to drive from Blacksburg to Colorado. And as we started off in the car, I'm a little 9-year-old going, I'm excited. The rest of it. Sure like y'all coming back from me. Anyway, I'm excited because getting there is half the fun, right? So I'm driving and we're riding. I'm in the back seat. Yeah. I went boom like that. And a spring, back leaf spring, broke in the back of the car. And that leaf spring, it goes long, short, you know, it gets shorter and it's under the, yeah, it broke. He said, okay, scoot over here. Everybody in the back seat sitting on each other because we had to get off that right side because we was afraid to go down and cut the tire. And, you know, all of them said, what are we going to do? I went, I just didn't know enough to be scared. I said, God, what are you going to do? By the way, we're all Christians going to a Christian camp. And we're worried. I wonder what God does in heaven. Palm the forehead. Y'all are believers. Lord help us. What was that? Nothing. Lord help us. I was like, what are we going to do? We limped off of interstate and pulled over and pulled up in front of an old farmhouse. Thought maybe he'll let us use the phone. Days before cell phones. Let us use the phone. We'll call. We'll get help. Probably we're never going to get there. And the farmer opened up, bib, overalls, plaid shirt. Y'all doing all right? Well, we were, but we're having a little car trouble. Well, what are you doing? I know. They almost felt like saying, it's none of your business. Well, it is. Well, we're having trouble with that car. Oh, that's a 52 Dodge. Steps out on the porch. I'm just going, I used to have one of those. Really? Yeah. Still got some parts for one. Well, we could use a leaf spring. I got one in the garage out there you can have. Okay, we pull off interstate in the middle of nowhere to a farmhouse of a guy who has a leaf spring to fix our car. We sure were lucky, weren't we? Sure was a coincidence. Oh, it wasn't. God told a little 9-year-old boy from Giles that he can do anything. He can bring me in the world. He can give me a leaf spring. Matter of fact, I got somebody can put it on for you. I thought it was kind of glorious coming down and walking among us. Got the leaf spring on, we're back in the road in about 3 or 4 hours. We weren't lucky that day. Coincidence didn't happen that day. We saw God Almighty teaching us. I still remember. I'm a little older than 9 years. Simeon's song by a man named T.S. Eliot. He wrote a poem and said this: Lord, the Roman hyacinths are blooming in bowls, and the winter sun creeps by the snow hill. The stubborn season is made stand. My life is light, waiting for the death wind, like a feather on the back of my hand. Dust in sunlight and memory in corners. Wait for the wind that chills towards the dead land. Grant us thy peace. I have walked many years in this city. Kept faith and fast, provided for the poor, have taken and given honor and ease. They went never any rejected from my door. Who shall remember my house? Where shall my children's children when this time of sorrow has come? Who shall remember my house is what Simeon just said. By the way, the man's 84 years old. They will take to the goat's path and the fox's home, fleeing from the foreign faces and the foreign swords. By the way, Israel had some lessons taught, and they still will have more lessons taught. Before the time of cords and scourges and lamentation, reminds me of Jesus right there, grant us thy peace. Before the stations of the mountain of desolation, before the certain hour of maternal sorrow, now at this birth, season of decease. Let the infant, the still unspeaking and unspoken word, notice words capitalized with John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the what? The word. Unspoken word, grant Israel's consolation. There it is. Give us hope, God, to one who is 80 years and no tomorrow. According to thy word, they shall praise thee and suffer in every generation with glory and derision. Light upon light, mounting the saint's stair. Not for me, the martyrdom, the ecstasy of thought and prayer. Not for me, the ultimate vision. Grant me thy peace, and a sword shall pierce thine heart, thine also. I'm tired in my own life and the lives of those after me. I'm dying in my own death and the deaths of those after me. Let thy servant depart, having seen thy salvation. Simeon's poem by T.S. Eliot. Simeon says, I've seen Jesus. I'm good to go. So are you good to go? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, today as we softly and tenderly hear your voice, you speak. I just pray we'd listen. Now that we've listened, I pray we'd let it find a place in our heart. I pray we'd be like Simeon. Before we die, we've held Jesus in our hands. We've seen you. We've accepted you. You're in our heart. I'd love to have been Simeon. He got to hold you. He knew who you were. He was looking forward to hope, and you brought him hope. Some of us need some hope in this next year. We get defeated and discouraged and depressed, and things go wrong in our life, and we take our eyes off the power and instead look at the problems, and the next thing you know, we just feel like, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, today, help restore us, help refresh us, help revive us. And Lord, may you renew us and help us to rededicate ourselves to be a devout Christian, not just a believer, but a devout believer who seeks you and looks for you every day and recognizes you when you do things in our life. May we not miss you. You've given us a brand new year, brand new decade. So, Jesus, I pray, Lord, we'd see you. We'd know you as our Savior. We'd live for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.